Uncanny Japan is author me, Teresa Matsura, exploring all that is weird from Japan. Strange superstitions and old wives' tales, cultural oddities and interesting language quirks. These are little treasures I dig up while doing research for my writing, and I want to share them with you here on Uncanny Japan. I hope you like the show. Hey, hey everyone. How are you holding up? Do you remember me telling you last episode about a horror audio drama Richard and I are working on? Well, we are. There's a lot to do for two people, like writing 11 episodes worth of script, fine-tuning that, recording and re-recording everything, getting the sound effects recorded, having music made, putting together the intro and outro and artwork, plus all the editing that needs to be done. And I kind of want to make an enticing trailer to put out too, so there's all that. It's really fun though, I'm not complaining. But it's so fun, in fact, that while working on it, in a burst of creativity, I have decided to also do a shorter story as a kind of warm-up for the big one. This one will be only 4 episodes, and I'm really excited about this project too. Again, all the behind the scenes and early releases will go to patrons because they're my besties. So let me tempt you with the title of the shorter show first. Ready? It will be called The Devil's Sweet Tooth, and it's based on one of my stories. If anyone has ever read The Unharmonious Man, you'll have a bit of an idea what it's about. Although I'm doing a lot of rewriting, so it's the same but different. It'll be creepy and weird, and I'll let you know when I get the first episode ready to come out. Now on to today's topic. Looking at the calendar, I see we're fast approaching Golden Week, the time of the year when several holidays all line up, so much so that employers all across Japan and businesses have decided just to add more days off so people can have an entire week off, or depending on the way the holidays fall, longer than a week. Anyone who lives in or has lived in Japan during Golden Week knows it's a time when it's better not to go anywhere, though. Because the entire country gets the same holidays, everyone takes to the road or the trains, and everywhere is much too crowded to really enjoy. This year, we've got the virus, and Prime Minister Abe is imploring people not to travel. I'm not sure how that's going to go, but I do hope everyone stays home. Real quick, let me just run down the holidays that make up Golden Week. April 29th is Showa no Hi, or Showa Day. May 3rd is Kenpo Kinenbi, or Constitution Day. May 4th is Midori no Hi, or Greenery Day. And May 5th is Kodomo no Hi, or Children's Day. Of all those holidays, the most exciting one is Kodomo no Hi, Children's Day. It's been celebrated forever, but it only became a national holiday in 1948. The thing I find most interesting about Kodomo no Hi is that it used to be called Tango no Seku, and was celebrated on the fifth day of the fifth moon. Tango no Seku was less Children's Day and more Boys' Day. You've probably seen koi no bori, those brightly colored streamers painted like carp strung up on poles or across rivers or parks. The cloth blowing in the wind looks like a fish swimming. In Chinese myth, a carp that swims upstream becomes a dragon and flies off to heaven. And who doesn't want their little child to grow up and become a proverbial dragon? This isn't set in stone because you'll see all kinds of colors in different orders. But in general, you'll often find the koi no bori like this from the top. A big black fish for dad, a red or pink one for mom, and a blue one for the oldest son. You'll also see green and orange windsocks for lesser siblings. Okay, I kid. But in old Japan, the oldest son, or the chonan, was pretty much the best place to be in a household. Now back to Kodomo no Hi. You'll often find, usually in the genkan or foyer of a house, dolls for boys put on display in homes all across Japan. And by dolls, I mean very intricate and incredibly expensive dolls. Most of them, at least the pricey ones, will be inside a beautiful glass box. These dolls aren't for playing with by any means. Two that are popular are Momotaro, the Peach Boy, and Kintaro, the Golden Boy. I'll talk more about him in a second. Sometimes a model of a samurai's helmet or a kabuto or a suit of armor are displayed instead. One thing all these displays have in common is that they are all symbols of strength, health, and prosperity, which is again what all parents wish for their little men. Before I talk about Kintaro, a couple other Children's Day traditions that I really like. One is the sweets. It seems like with every festival or holiday in Japan, there is a special sweet that is eaten during that time. With Kodomo no Hi, it is either kashiwa mochi or chimaki. Kashiwa mochi are sticky rice cakes filled with red bean paste or white bean paste with miso and wrapped in oak leaves. The oak leaves give them a really nice fragrance. I just learned, since it's difficult to tell which bean paste you're getting just by looking at the snack, the trick is that if the leaf is wrapped around the rice cake with the back of the leaf facing outward so the veins are more prominent, then there is red bean paste inside. If the smooth side or the front of the leaf is facing outward, then white bean and miso are inside. That's pretty cool, and I'm going to test that theory next time I go to the supermarket, so I'll let you know. Now, in the Kansai or western region of Japan, oak trees don't grow naturally. So instead of kashiwa mochi, they have chimaki. Chimaki is my favorite of the two. These are also sweet rice dumplings in different flavors that are wrapped in bamboo leaves. But their shape and the way they're tied is fun. They're rolled long and thin, a little bit bigger on one end, and then they're wrapped all snugly in the bamboo leaf. With a very thin strip of what I think is part of the leaf, used to wrap around and around and around, and tied in this really peculiar way. It's hard to explain, but the first time I had one, it was a real trick to open. But once you figure out how, you feel a little bit smarter. Now on to my other favorite thing about Children's Day, iris baths. Irises bloom during May, so of course they are a part of the tradition in celebrating your child's health, success, and long life. Also, his or her strength. Irises are fun. In Japan, they're called shobu. The same pronunciation with different characters also means a duel or a match, a game or a contest. Or, by two other different characters, shobu can mean martial spirit or samurai spirit. One of the things I've always loved about Kodomo Hi is something called shobuyu or iris bath. It's a tradition that is thought to have started back in the Heian or Nara era, but really became widespread in the Kamakura era. I heard it's really not done much anymore, which is a shame because it's kind of easy and it's kind of fun. But here it goes. This is what you do. First, irises have a strong and lovely fragrance that is thought to exorcise evil spirits. So keep that in mind. Remember also that irises, shobu, is a homonym for a duel and martial spirit. And finally, take note that the leaves of an iris are shaped like long swords. Maybe you can see where this is going. So the idea is by taking a shobuyu or iris bath, you'll, or more specifically your children, will have a long, disease-free, healthy life and become as strong, or at least spirit-wise, as a samurai. Iris baths are also believed to help relax stiff shoulders and relieve back pain, offer greater blood circulation, and soften your skin. Plus, they smell very lovely. Okay, how to make an iris bath? It's really easy. I don't know about anywhere else, but in Japan, around Kodomo no Hi, supermarkets and florists sell bunches of iris leaves. Not the flowers, just the leaves. There's no real special instructions, just draw a hot bath and soak the leaves. And while they're in there, then you get in or your kids get in, however you want to do it. This works wonderfully with the Japanese deep ofuro, and they even have hot springs or onsen that also do special shobu-yu baths around this time. Again, that's usually. Now everyone has to stay home, so it's probably not being done this year. So there's one more thing I wanted to talk about today on this Children's Day episode. It's Kintaro, a Japanese folk hero that you can find almost everywhere. You might have seen his likeness. He's a big, chubby kid with reddish skin and a pageboy haircut with bangs. He's also completely naked, except for a big red diamond-shaped bib with the character for gold on it, King. You'll often find his image with a bear or monkeys or his trusty axe, or sometimes a giant carp. All of these things and animals make appearances in the tales about Kintaro. Now, there are varying origin stories about Kintaro. First, it's believed he was a real person, a man named Sakata Kintoki, who lived during the Heian era. Kintoki was a retainer for the samurai Minamoto no Yorimitsu, and was well known for being a great warrior. But from there, the tall tales begin. Some say he was raised by his mother, a princess named Yaegiri, in a town near Mount Ashigara. From there, he went on to befriend forest animals and just go about being super strong until he was discovered by the samurai Minamoto no Yorimitsu. A more exciting version says that his mother fled her house and the town and her husband and moved to the forest on Mount Ashigara, where she raised her son. A version of this story has her leaving Kintaro, her son, in the wilds to die, or perhaps dying herself, thus just leaving the little boy to fend for himself. Both versions end with him being adopted by a Yama-uba, or a mountain witch. Still another, and probably my favorite version of his tale, has the mountain witch being the actual mother, who got pregnant by a clap of thunder sent by a red dragon. It doesn't sound like Kintaro had any friends of his own species. All his pals were animals, especially a big old bear that he often rode around. Some tales say he could speak the animals' languages. He was also deft at smashing rocks to bits, felling trees with his axe, and sumo wrestling various bears to the ground. I'm not a big Kintaro fan myself. Basically nothing opposes him or makes him interesting, except for the fact that he has a mountain witch for a mom and a big red dragon for a dad. I mean, pretty much he goes his whole life unchallenged. But I wanted to find some special and interesting tidbit to add here, so I did a lot of reading and I found it. Kitagawa Utamaro was an ukiyo-e artist who made a lot of pictures of Kintaro and his mother. I mean, a lot. But at the time he was creating these images, it was the late Kansei era, 1789 to 1801. During that time, it was forbidden to draw, paint, or show in any way sexy women. Now, in order to get past that decree, Utamaro got quite clever. So he would depict scenes of Kintaro with his very non-mountain witch-looking mother doing mother and child things, like she's doing his hair, feeding him soup, or cleaning his ears. That's all innocent enough. But then you keep looking at the pictures, and there's one where she's sticking her tongue in his mouth, there's quite a bit of breastfeeding and nipple tweaking, and there's one where she's combing her long hair with Kintaro on her back. And yeah, she's topless, but I guess that's less interesting about Kintaro and more about the artist Kitagawa Utamaro, but still. So on this May 5th, Kodomo no Hi in Japanese, Children's Day in English, wherever you are in the world, and no matter how crazy they are making you, because I've been there, reach over and give your kid a hug. And if you happen to have sweet-smelling irises growing in your garden, chop off those long leaves, rinse them off, and toss them into a nice hot bath. You can have a soak, or you can have your children take a bath with them, symbolically wishing for a healthy, strong, and successful life. I also read that using one of the long leaves and tying it around your head or your child's head like a hachimaki makes the whole thing more effective and more samurai-like. As always, I want to give a great big thank you to my patrons for supporting the show. One bit of odd news is that it seems like Japanese mail incoming and outgoing is suspended for all countries, so my upper-tiered Tengu, Oni, and Kappa patrons who get the goodie envelopes and the homemade postcards are still going to get them, but just a little later and probably all at once, once the mail starts working again. I'm still doing monthly folklore bedtime stories and recently putting up other content on the Patreon page. Like, I just put up a 30-minute long shakuhachi flute performance I recorded a while ago. The first song he played was Celine Dion, which was really weird. But then after that, he got into some Chinese pieces, so it was interesting. Thank you all for listening, and I will talk to you again in 2 weeks. Psst. Hey, do you like scary stories? Or maybe you don't do full-on horror, but enjoy a nice dark tale. Something creepy involving Japanese folklore and superstition? Well, if that's the case, you can sneak on over to Amazon or wherever you like to buy books and look for my 2 short story collections, A Robe of Feathers and The Carp-Faced Boy. All you need to do is search for Teresa Matsura. Let me spell that for you. Theresa Matsura. Another place you can find me doing things is on Patreon. There, once a month, for my $5 and up patrons, I translate, retell, and record obscure Japanese folktales. Some are dark, some are humorous, some are just weird. And lastly, another super sweet thing you can do is to write a review on iTunes. By doing this, you help like-minded people find Uncanny Japan. It's a little thing, but it means a lot, and it's a great big help. Thank you. I'm Teresa Matsura, and I'll talk to you soon.